Just about 5:08 on the Central Coast. Happy Friday. Good to be with you. I'm Dave Congleton. Kicking off the 5 o'clock hour on this Friday, October 11th, 2019. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll stick around. Still to come on this broadcast during the 6 o'clock hour. It's last call. What's on your mind? We will find out. On Monday, Mothers for Nuclear will return. Also, Rick Bruce is getting ready to stage Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. It's Halloween coming up. So let's talk about the original broadcast. Speaking of original broadcasters, King Harris is with us on Wednesday. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour, look who's here, the one, the only, a guy I need a dictionary for, a medical dictionary, Dr. Gary Forsman from Middle Path Medicine in Arroyo Grande. The doctor is in.
So wonderful to be here.
Nice to see you, doctor.
Just like me seeing an old friend here. So
thank you. Back at you. Let's remind folks about Middle Path Medicine.
I'm Dr. Gary E. Forsman, and most of you know I've been on the Central Coast since 1994, so however long that is, 25 years now. So Middle Path Medicine has been where I've been doing my business for over 11 years now in the same location. So our website, www.middlepathmedicine.com. Our office number, 805-481-3442. We have a lovely integrative medicine office. Myself, Jessica Jocelyn, who's my physician assistant, wonderful, wonderful addition to Middle Path for the last few years. And, of course, Crystal, our IV nurse. We have a great staff there. So,
and you take the Middle Path.
We take the Middle Path. It's
between traditional medicine and
Western medicine. All right. So traditional medicine, from my perspective, is obviously the historical medicines, the herbal medicines, the functional medicines, Western medicine being the latest, greatest addition, especially when it comes to acute care medicine. Definitely part of holistic medicine, as we've talked before.
You have a seminar presentation coming up Monday.
We do, actually. And tonight, you know, we're going to just be hopefully talking about immunity, asking people, you know, hey, what can I do for my immune system this coming season? The talk on Monday will be the future of cancer therapies. And this is going to be an exciting talk, folks, because it's going to be in the Avalu Room at the Trilogy Parkway. This is in the Monarch Dunes in the Pomo. It'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. on Monday, October 14th. It'll be myself and Dr. Julie Taguchi, an oncologist from Santa Barbara. So there'll be my perspective in terms of the future of therapies from the natural perspective and helping the body, her perspective from targeted chemotherapies. She's a wonderful, very intelligent hematology oncologist. Oncology physician. So hopefully we'll get some, you know, good conversations going as well, too.
So when and where again, please, doctor?
From 4 to 6 p.m. on Monday, October 14th in the Avila Room at Trilogy on 1645 Trilogy Parkway.
It's right there.
In Monarch.
Right there in the Monarch Grove.
Exactly.
Beautiful, beautiful facility, by
yes.
the way. Yes. All right. We're going to talk about boosting immunity. We're going to stay away from cancer.
Yes.
Hopefully. coming up, we've got seasonal change. I had a woman here earlier this week talking about seasonal change. And here we go, trying to boost immunity.
Right. So boosting immunity, folks. So, you know, this isn't meant to be a discussion only on vaccines. I think everybody sees that the flu vaccines and the pneumococcal vaccines are being promoted as if that's how you help prevent infections, where they're very limited in terms of their utility. And there's a time and a place for each vaccine, as almost all of you know. But how to boost immunity is really about how you take care of yourself. So it's really a tutorial in self-care. And so the great French physiologist, and this goes back to the days of Louis Pasteur, where Louis Pasteur was the germ theory of disease guy. Claude Bernard was the terrain is everything, the germ or the microbe is nothing. And that was one of the great debates of the time, which is, when we're talking about fighting off infections, do we deal with the person, the terrain, or do we deal with the microbe? And of course, everybody spoke in hyperbole, even in the 1860s of France, by the way, that you had to say that the germ is everything or the germ is nothing, which of course is not true to say it in such hyperbole. But it's a beautiful understanding that if we take care of us, the human being from today in a healthy, civilized society can actually fight off most infections if they take care of themselves and have no significant complications from them.
But what does that mean, doctor, to take care of oneself?
That's the question, isn't it?
Okay, yes.
So the basic things that everybody needs, how do I have a healthy immune system to help me fight off these colds and infections? Because we know even if you do get the flu shot, it actually helps you against a specific form of flu, not against almost any other viruses. Even if you you get Prevnar and these other vaccines, they help you with specific kinds of pneumococcal pneumonia, but not all the other causes of pneumonias and bronchitis. They're extraordinarily limited, almost nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're really talking about, how do I take care of myself? And most people forget these things, okay? So number one thing everybody knows about, and I'm not going to spend much time on, don't smoke, don't vape. You know, your lungs are for breathing. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not tough to understand, but there's a lot of people who are still doing that. You know, the vape craze has come around, hurting so many people's lungs, which will obviously would affect your ability to fight off infections. When it comes to alcohol, people, we live in one country. I all know this. This is a little bit sacrilegious to go down this route. Alcohol in moderation is up to 7 drinks a week for a woman, up to 14 drinks a week for a man, spread 14. Out. Yes, so that averaging 2 drinks a day. That's considered moderation, and that's considered healthy from a cardiovascular standpoint and other standpoints. But as we know, as we start to increase alcohol use, that increases rates of infection past moderation. And obviously, we're talking about 1 to 2 drinks at a time. At the most, depending on tolerances and a few other things. So boosting immunity, don't smoke, moderation in alcohol, sleep, people. Okay, so we sometimes in a go society, we don't understand that sleep could be each one of these things I'm going to tell you is like almost the single most important thing. You'll find that whoever you out there says, man, I catch everything that goes around, one of these things is probably going to be your weakest link. You know, you don't allow yourself enough time at night, you're watching news programs at night or playing video games or something else like that. So most of us probably need closer to 9 hours of sleep, not 8 hours of sleep.
9 hours?
Yes. Okay. So if you look at studies where people don't know the time cycles, et cetera, we probably average close to 9 hours of sleep. So this idea that 8 hours of sleep is night is probably good, but be very clear, anything less than 7 hours a night is associated with all kinds of metabolic dysfunctions, including worsening immune system function.
I'm screwed.
So sleep, people. And what a great prescription for you.
How about a nap?
And then there you go. Okay, so
seriously,
here. The classic cat's nap, as it's called, which is 20 to 30 minutes, people, at least getting horizontal in a daytime cycle. And even if you just laid there and rested, no computer, no cell phone, and just 20 to 30 minutes of resting, even if you don't fall asleep, from an adrenal function standpoint, from so many standpoints, napping could be, if you looked at it prospectively, one of the healthiest behaviors we could ever do. Okay. And it doesn't rule out sleeping. So you don't say, well, I had 20 to 30 minutes of that nap. Aha, I only need 7.5 hours of sleep, because that's not what it's about. It's about actually regenerating your body. And all of you guys out there who have cats and dogs, etc., healthy animals, and we are still animals, healthy animals sleep. They nap. It's good for us. It's profound for immune system. So we all have days where we have to hit the Starbucks and do whatever else and get through things, but if you have a chance to take a nap, please do. It also is one of the healthiest behaviors you could have. It's an interesting thing as a doctor, Dave. People are like, I'm not healthy. I have to take a nap. And I go, well, when you take a nap, do you feel better afterwards? Oh, yeah, it's great, you know? And then you feel great, and then you have good energy until nighttime. And I go, why would you fight something that might add 10 years to your life? Seriously, that some studies on napping shows that level of napping. Now, there's the 20 to 30 minute window seems to be pretty key, okay? We're not talking about 3 hours of sleep in the afternoon and dysfunctional sleep patterns. We're talking about cat napping, okay, as a very, very healthy behavior. So sleep, people, you know, so it's not always about what you take. It's sometimes about what you don't do. I think when we get to our section on stress, which is, you know, number 6, so because number 3 here is sleep, people are on their screens all the time. Some crazy numbers out there about the average American, up to something like somewhere between 8 to 11 hours of screen time a day,
right?
Okay, depending on the studies that you look at. That's so incredibly unhealthy. I can't even imagine what effect that is having upon us, but it's not good. Okay?
What effect might it happen?
Well, see, the thing is it's, we all know, so as you know, we have our wonderful son, Leo, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm just using as an example, we know any amount of screen time for infants growing up is bad for neurological development. Now, we of course have a better blood-brain barrier and some other factors, but we know that degree of screen time, there's zero levels for babies that are useful, probably even up to 5 years, okay? And I'm not saying he never sees a TV screen. I'm not telling you that. He doesn't have any handheld devices that he can look at. But as you go on with us, the degree of stress that we get, because the biggest issue for me is the study showing especially young women who go on social media and having high rates of depression and suicide, and the effects of what we're seeing on those screens probably is more concerning concerning to me than just absolute screen time.
All right. But Dr. Gary Forsman is here from Middle Path Medicine. We're talking about boosting immunity. We'll break away and come back and continue that conversation. Your phone call still to come. I'm Dave Congleton. This is radio, no screens involved, on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. My guest on Hometown Radio is Dr. Gary Forsman with Middle Path Medicine in Aurora Grande, where the website always is
www.middlepathmedicine.com.
Middlepathmedicine.com, a big seminar coming up Monday afternoon.
Yes, we do. This Monday at 4 to 6 p.m. in the Avila Room in Trilogy Parkway, we are going to have a wonderful talk, Future of Cancer Therapy. And I can say that because it's also going to be with Dr. Julie Taguchi, who is going to talk about her views from futures of cancer therapies and targeted therapies from a standpoint of an oncologist, whereas I come at from an integrative oncology, integrative medicine standpoint. So hopefully it'll be a very interesting talk.
Anybody can come. Absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
4 o'clock
yep.
on Monday.
You
just
got it.
And just as we talk about boosting immunity, mm-hmm. So do you get a shot? Do you get a flu shot, doctor?
I certainly do not.
Okay. Have you ever had a flu? Ever?
The answer to that is actually, you know, as I've gone through my career, and you start questioning things. The first thing I started questioning was hormone replacement therapies and the Premarins and Prevers, and something seemed very wrong about that from the get go, and that was correct long before the studies. And when you start looking at each and everything, the last thing I actually looked at was the true sacred cow, which is kind of funny because vaccination comes from cows and cowpox. The sacred cow for me was actually vaccination. Why would you even question that one? It's the greatest thing ever, and that's what we're indoctrinated into believing. I used to say it's the greatest thing ever. Actually, used to say the greatest thing since sliced bread, and now we know sliced bread's out too, buddy.
Right.
So on that order, then you start looking at it, because what most doctors don't understand is that we've talked about this before, a vaccination is an injectable polypharmacy, which means multiple components with multiple effects. And you can't get singular effects when doing this. It's actually impossible, and that's why there's such a strong association with allergic disease and autoimmune disease. And of course, when you start including things like the adjuvants and all, we start getting higher rates of the autism spectrum disorders. That's in the kids, obviously, to the neurodegenerative diseases. So there's what's not understood by, and I don't know why, because it's so biologically plausible, is that this dramatic increase in vaccination, not as we, and I have a whole series of flu vaccines that I did again last year, by the way. The Cochrane database, which is an international database, which looks at all the studies on flu vaccines, show that there is no decrease in the rate of complicated flu illnesses when you get the flu shot, even when it's matched correctly, which is shockingly rare.
What's the source on that, doctor?
The Cochrane database, but yeah. The Cochrane database is a great place to go. Actually, they tend to be, of course, biased towards pharmaceutical types of approaches. So we have an entire series that we did, and I think we talked last year about flu vaccines as well. And so do I, of course, up till about, say, I think it was around 10 years ago, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, then I was really started to look at the vaccines as well. And of course, just like almost everything else I looked at, the data that was being presented was not at all what I thought it was. The vaccines weren't what they thought it was. And there's certain groups that really get about the aborted fetal cells and all the things that are present in many of the vaccines. I'm more concerned about the adjuvants in some vaccines, the killed vaccines, especially aluminum, which is a very toxic thing the way it's used, and the thimerosal in the flu vaccines. So be very clear, the idea that there's no complications, not true. Here's the most important part for everybody out there. When you get a flu vaccine, you will have a decrease in the rate of overall catching that flu if it's matched for the right influenza A or B that's in the vaccine. You have a dramatic increase in influenza-like illnesses, which means other flu-like illnesses, because it's a suppressor of the immune system. So when people say, I got the flu shot and I got the flu, they're not getting that flu. They're increasing their susceptibility to other infections and spreading other infections to everybody else. This is the idea that your hospital, everybody is supposed to get the flu vaccine, right? Make it a mandate. That's not proven by science at all. As a matter of fact, they're increasing the chances of getting every other viral illness at the same rate.
So is it your contention that if I do these six things, don't smoke, don't vape, watch my alcohol, get plenty of sleep, pay attention to nutrition, exercise, stress management, it's as effective as getting a flu shot?
It's more effective because, and then when you talk about this, because that's what prevention means. Okay, so prevention means taking care of the terrain and not attacking your body with a variety of chemicals, getting an artificial immune response. And be very clear, the type of immune response that you get with a vaccine is not the same thing as getting an actual infection. Okay, and so when we look at the studies showing natively, meaning actually getting chickenpox, will cause you to have a lifelong decreased risk of brain tumors. Getting the vaccine will not do that, okay? And we could go on and on about other things. So actually catching infections is good for us, everybody. And one of my points that I try to make across to everybody is that if we just sat down away from the fear, away from the anger, and looked at these viruses, and there's bacteria too, but just stick with viruses, they're little pockets of RNA and DNA in the universe, everybody, okay? They're not there just to be evil, okay? I think looking at it, this is kind of like the immigration issue out there and everything else, people. The idea that just something that doesn't look like us is evil is just not a fair understanding. These little pockets of energy and information known as RNA and DNA that are the virus, they can't live without you. That's interesting. Or whatever host species they belong to. And when they replicate in us, yes, the lessons they give your immune system can be difficult. Fevers and aches and rashes and all these other things. But when you take care of the terrain, they're not deadly, nor do they lead to complications. That's what we knew long before the vaccines, because the rates of vaccine-related complicated illnesses, I'm sorry, the rate of illness leading to complicated disease, long before vaccines even came around, was dramatically decreased in our country because improved child labor laws and other things that have, that were really part of the issue.
What about for kids? Should my children get a flu shot?
No. Okay. I mean, you know, and I'm sorry. It's, you know, the take-home example that I'd give to everybody is that most people know, well, those bad drug companies, they prescribe those narcotics. First of all, they never prescribed to one. It was your doctor, okay? And they misled everybody and billions of dollars of profit. They knew that they were liable for these bad narcotics going out there, and they let everybody prescribe them anyway. Knowing they were liable, they were willing to kill hundreds of thousands of people, okay? That's the background we know. The pharmaceutical industry that makes the vaccines was taken away from any liability in 1987. Any complication from a vaccine that kills your kid, kills you, or causes any maiming disease or whatever else will not have any complication from the pharmaceutical company. You'll be the one paying for it with your taxes.
We have Dr. Gary Forsman from Middle Path Medicine. MiddlePath.com is his website. We got news, traffic, weather. What's on your mind? We'll take your phone calls for the doctor. Stay with us. I'm Dave Congleton. We are in conversation with Dr. Gary Forsman from Middle Path Medicine in Aurora Grande. His website is middlepathmedicine.com. We're talking about boosting immunity. Joy is on the line. Hi, Joy.
Hi there.
Hi. You're on
How
the
are
air.
You?
Hello.
Very
good. What's up?
Oh, hi, Gary. Thank you so much for doing the show. I just have a question. I'm wondering what your opinion is on how vaccines and their ingredients might be affecting mental health concerns in our youth.
Could you repeat the question? Sorry.
How do you think that vaccinations are affecting children's health?
Children's health. Okay, sorry, I just didn't hear you.
Mental health.
Yes, mental health. Well, all right, folks. So going back to, I have a 16-month-old at home. And I also have a 26 and 27-year-old. When I raised my 26 and 27-year-olds, I was still part of that indoctrinated medicine. Any vaccine you recommended, I gave to them.
Right.
Okay. And so, and they went through the normal, you know, reactions that we consider normal when you got flu shots. And I'm sorry, when we weren't doing flu shots back then, but all the other standard vaccines, including hepatitis B, that was new at that time. And I'll also point out that one of my sons, well, any family history or anything else, does have type 1 diabetes, strongly linked to a hepatitis B vaccine that he got in infancy, which means at birth, in the series thereafter. Can I prove that it causes type 1 diabetes? I can't, but I just know in my heart to be true, because that's that kind of autoimmune disease. It's important to understand, well, what could be wrong? So my argument always was, well, why wouldn't you give them a Hep B vaccine? It's good for society. That's actually bull stuff. Sorry about that, Dave. Anyways, that there's no chance for him to get hepatitis B at that age. Okay, there it's acquired through sexual transmission, IV drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in the world, and this is a great example of vaccines, people, and I'm sorry for a somewhat long answer. In the world, vertical transmission from mom to infant is the main way of getting hep B. So giving hep B immune globulins and hep B vaccines at birth when mom has hep B is profound, makes profound sense. However, in our country, they're screened, they don't have hep B, and they cannot, moms are not going to give hep B to their kids unless they have it, of course. Okay, they should do this. So what's happening is we're now giving children a mercury-containing vaccine at birth. Okay, at birth. Just pop right out the birth canal, lets us hit them right there. And it's continued on from there into the, so that we have hundreds of vaccines and more coming with highly toxic chemicals. And as of today, when you have a teenager of today with the current vaccine schedule, 1 in 2 has a chronic disease. 1 in 2. The epidemic that has occurred that the American Academy of Pediatrics has completely shined on is that we have an epidemic chronic disease among our children. And that includes all things, not just mental health. 1 in 2 chronic disease includes obesity, by the way, strongly linked with the aluminum in the vaccines and many, many other issues. Furthermore, we have skyrocketing allergic disease, autoimmune disease, so that 1 in 6 of our teenagers now have a neuropsychiatric disorder, okay, from depression, anxiety, things. This isn't normal, everybody. This epidemic that's occurring on your watch is while people refuse to even look at a biologically plausible thing, multitudinous vaccines given when the blood-brain barrier isn't even able to take it, and it's criminal, okay?
Joy, is there anything else you want to ask?
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm just wondering what ingredients might contribute to depression and anxiety and even maybe tendency towards suicide.
Right.
Joy, thanks for the call.
The concern is the nonspecific activation of the immune system. It's called excitotoxicity. That's probably primarily related to the aluminum adjuvants as well as the mercury in some vaccines, mainly actually just really in the flu vaccine at this point. That's why you really shouldn't give it to your child because it has no improvement in complicated flu, which is the actual goal of a vaccine, people, is to prevent complications from the illness, not to prevent the illness itself. And so when you look into this, it's probably the excitotoxicity. Excitotoxicity means that the macrophages that protect the brain no longer protect the brain because they've been overstimulated. That's biologically plausible. There's great studies on aluminum adjuvants doing this, okay? And many of the trials out there on vaccines actually compare the vaccine and that they don't use a placebo control. I don't know if you know this, Dave. They don't. They use the aluminum adjuvant as the control. So when you see no difference in complications between, it's not even a placebo-controlled trial that these biological agents that are injected into your children are being done. So it's, again, the neurotoxicity that is primarily related to aluminum adjuvants associated with most of the neuropsychiatric problems.
So is there an increase in childhood depression?
Yes.
Because of all this?
Depression, anxiety, autism spectrum disorder. Right. And so all of it is, and I can't emphasize, 1 in 6 children are going to be diagnosed with a neuropsychiatric disorder. And be clear, everybody, it's much more complicated than just vaccines or just MMR. It has to do with the diet of our children, the screen times, and a lot of other factors. That does make it complicated, but we have to, you know, go after the things that make the biggest difference.
We're in conversation with Dr. Gary Forsman from Middle Path Medicine. The website is middlepathmedicine.com. If you want in on this conversation about boosting immunity, we welcome your calls. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, Laura writes, I take a tablespoon of elderberry syrup for preventing flu and cold.
That's great. So actually, it's funny because Miranda, my wife, really wanted me to bring up elderberry, and she just loves elderberry. And I asked her why, and she goes, it tastes really good. And I go, you know, there should be a better reason just than that. In terms of prevention, and especially, you know, the when we talk about the boosting immunity thing, we actually, you know, the nutrition, everybody knows I'm a paleo nutrition guy. For those of you who don't know what that is, please look it up. Healthy exercise, daily walks, stress management, and then we get to the supplements. And I promise I'm not getting past the question, because too many people, they don't take care of so many basic things. We need to be all on some form of a good multivitamin. I use this one primarily called Maximum Vitality, 2 tabs twice a day. A good fish oil supplements. I use one called Orthomega 2 once a day. K-Force, which is K and D together. Get your vitamin D levels up. That's important.
All right. And Carolyn is calling in. That's important. Hi, okay. Carolyn.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I've got a physical coming up, and I'm supposed to have the shingles vaccine, and I'm wondering if you could tell me what you know about that.
More than I want to. and finally, and I'm going to finish the last question too, which is yes, using certain immune boosters. I use one called beta-glucan, which is not the same as elderberry for prevention. We use other things for treatment of acute infections. We have a protocol on the website called the acute viral protocol for respiratory infections that will not work on shingles. Shingles, everybody, is a reactivation of the chickenpox virus. Actually, my wife right now has shingles. And she's 30-something. I should know that. and this is one of the more interesting things if you really start to look into infectious diseases is varicella zoster virus, which is the virus that causes chickenpox, is a very simple infection. Most of us, Dave, you probably caught it. I caught it when I was 6 or 7.
I had shingles, you know, 3 years ago. I take a cyclovir twice a day.
Okay. And so what's happened when we started to do the chickenpox vaccine program, and I want to be clear about this, the goal of a vaccination program is actually to prevent complicated illness. You know what the complicated illness is? Not chickenpox in our society. Now I'm talking about civilized society, healthy well-being, because chickenpox is a self-limiting illness. And so why do we start vaccinating against it? And I'll tell you, to start selling vaccines. Okay. And so it started off with the children, and yes, the vaccination does decrease the circulation of the chickenpox virus in your community. I'm not even arguing that it doesn't. It does, and a decreased risk of clinical chickenpox in our kids instantaneously. And I'm talking within 5 years of starting chickenpox vaccines for children. You know what you started getting? Dramatic increases in shingles, because the recirculation of that virus, remember, these viruses are part of it's part of spirit. Okay, it's energy and information. It's part of you. These viruses are actually part of us. They're just acquired. They're supposed to educate our immune system. We're supposed to get a lesson.
But doctor, should she get the shingle shot?
I promise we're getting there.
I got 20 minutes.
Oh, damn it. It's. I want people to understand why the answer is no. All right, short answer, no. It's because the vaccination program is why there's an epidemic of shingles. So, of course, they said, let's do the Varivax. Oh, no, that's not good enough. Let's do the Shingrix. It's going to make more and more potent. And is there evidence that it prevents post-herpetic neuralgia, which is the real thing? If you get the chickenpox, the adult shingles vaccine, will it prevent complicated shingles? There's a lot of evidence that answer is no. You'll have fewer cases of shingles overall, which I'm not saying isn't a good thing. However, just like with my wife the other day, I think my rib is out, is what she said. She had a painful rib. We looked at it, and it's like, you have shingles, and you can diagnose it instantaneously. You can treat it instantaneously, and it's not it's not a severe illness.
So what can she do instead of getting the shot in your professional
estimation? Take care of herself and then have an awareness of what shingles is. So the reason almost all of us have seen the advertisements about why we get the shingles vaccine, because some poor guy looks like he's gotten run over by a tractor trailer and it's supposed to be shingles. And so you get this vaccine like it's going to prevent that from occurring. And there's no evidence that it actually does. It will decrease the amount of overall minor cases of shingles. But will it prevent post-herpetic neuralgia, the horrible pain afterwards? I am not convinced that it does.
All right, Caroline, is he helping you here?
He is, but, you know, I kind of feel hassled by my practitioner who wants to just push all these immunizations, and I just want to know a good response where she'll just back off.
You know, it's tough in today's world because practitioners tend to be the high priests of their things, and you telling you not that you don't want a vaccination is like telling your rabbi you don't want, I don't know, I'm not Jewish, sorry. But it's taken that way, and people become offended. And in today's world, and Dave and I were talking about this, it's tough to have conversations with people anymore. Just say, it's not something I want to do. Without saying you're wrong, without anything else, the best thing to say.
Could she say instead, mm-hmm. I'd prefer just to take the acyclovir
well,
instead
again,
of getting a shot?
I wouldn't take acyclovir as a prevention. Okay. There's a time and a place for that, and I know you and say like that. But do you just every that would be a great, you know, that's
so the question is, should, I'm not comfortable with the shot.
It's just not something that I want to do. Same thing goes with a flu shot. Anybody, and this is a great thing for you and your practitioner. If you tell them that, no, I just don't want the shingles vaccine or the flu vaccine, and they get upset, you already know you're right, because if they get upset about it, then they're not practicing medicine. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Caroline, thank you. Let's see all the calls over here.
Yeah.
Okay. We got 14 minutes.
I got it.
All right. We got Ron and Arroyo Grande on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Never better.
Question on the physicians in this country. If they don't agree with what you're saying, they're not owned by the drug companies, are they?
Doctors are misinformed, just like the doctors, like the people who say those bad drug companies who made them prescribe narcotics. That's not true. They were just duped into it. So you have a lot of...
No, I'm talking about vaccines. I'm not talking about...
Oh, vaccines are drugs. Okay, so they're them pushing that is the same thing as pushing OxyContin on people and pushing all the bad drugs on people.
No, please. Let's keep the vaccines separate, because there is a tremendous problem with over-prescribing.
Yes.
But let's talk about vaccines, children's vaccines,
yes.
Okay? Let's talk about the shingles vaccine,
then
things like that.
Yes, talk about it.
Oh, well, I know you're talking about it, but my question is, if the doctors across this country, most of them disagree with you, that doesn't mean that they're in the pocket with the drug companies. It just means that they don't agree with your thinking.
No. And again, what I tell you is the standard of care for a while was to prescribe these drugs called Premarin and Prevera. Everybody knew it. I was indoctrinated into doing it. And they were really bad versions of estrogens and progesterones that killed a lot of women. Okay. That's where we're at today. Okay. And it doesn't take it takes stepping out and understanding why did those drugs become standard of care? And the answer is because they made money. Why do we have the current vaccine
schedule?
Hold on. I'm not answering your questions now.
Okay.
Why do we have the current vaccine schedule is because it makes money. The CDC owns over 10 patents of these things. The CDC is a pharmaceutical marketing organization, not there when it comes to vaccines to protecting the public.
Right.
So yes, the current standard of care for so many things out there, the statin drugs do not work because they lower cholesterol. Every doctor out there is prescribing them to lower cholesterol. They're wrong about that. They don't treat for heart disease.
Okay.
All these other things are the misinterpretation of data. I want to emphasize this to you. You have to step out of medicine to look at it clearly. And once you get a clear view of it, you just all of a sudden see, wow, I'm prescribing a belief system in medicine, not actual medicine.
Ron's not buying it.
That's fine.
No, what I'm saying is, no, I got the polio vaccine. I'm 74. So what you're saying, the polio vaccine, that was wrong to have?
That's a very long and complicated conversation. But in today's world, with the polio vaccine, the reason that, like, for instance, the oral polio vaccine was stopped is because it became the number one cause of polio, right? So then when we stopped the oral polio vaccine, we just have the injectable now. And so the question is, when you have a risk-to-benefit ratio of when do you do the polio vaccine, because it, too, can cause a poliomyelitic illness as well. So, yes, but back then, might have been the right thing.
All right, Ron, thank you. We go to Pete in San Luis. Hi, Pete.
Hi, interesting chat, and of course, like everybody else, we don't know who the heck to believe.
Right.
But as I was getting my shingles vaccine yesterday, my first shot,
right,
the doctor said, I just had shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And on a pain scale of 1 to 10, meaning 1 meaning nothing and 10 meaning you lose consciousness, he said it was an 11.
Right.
Having shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if that's true. But someone else said a friend of theirs had it, and it was a nightmare.
Right.
And where I got my shot, I don't know who's pushing it, but I got it from a doctor who's not making any money off it. It was a VA thing.
Right.
I just want to throw that in.
They're certainly not making money off it. Like I was trying to say with the last person, it's not that the doctors are like getting kickbacks. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying they've been duped. Okay, and so now same thing goes. How do you sell something that nobody wants to do? You make it sound like it's rate, or like there's something to be afraid of. So vaccines are always sold by fear. No, it's necessary doesn't really work. Fear what works. So I saw a patient the other day. She didn't want to take a statin drug. The person said she was at the doctor, and this is a true story. You're a ticking time bomb. Okay, now, what a wonderful thing for somebody to say to somebody. You're a ticking time bomb. Why did they say that to them? They're selling drugs, okay? And they're doing it because they think it's the right thing. So, yes, can shingles be difficult to deal with? Yes. In today's world, he's going to tell you it was an 11 because he was selling you a drug, meaning the vaccine. That's the only way it works.
All right. Pete, what else?
Nope. Okay. I guess that's good. Thank you.
All right, Pete, thank you. Craig, can I have the names, please? Dr. Gary Forsman on this broadcast, 805-543-8830. We got Dirk in San Luis. Hi, Dirk.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if the doctor had any opinion on colostrum. It seems like a good strategy for me. I've taken it from time to time, the health food variety store kind of stuff. I've never noticed any improvement. Is there like a good natural source of colostrum that might be beneficial for the immune system?
Doctor?
Yeah, what I would tell you, the question out there is about colostrum. Colostrum is a preparation that comes from the first 48 hours of mother's milk. The classic colostrum comes from these beautiful New Zealand cows, and they do have some immune potentiating factors. Some people do very well with it. For many of us, we're using serum bovine immunoglobulins and other forms of immune boosters. The immune booster I recommend the most is called a beta-glucan. It's called Whole Immune. Whole Immune, and it comes from Orthomolecular, and it's actually a beta-glucan. It comes from baker's yeast, and and it has a little more evidence for prevention than colostrum. Colostrum I've tended to use more in gastrointestinal illnesses, but it's not a bad choice.
So the name of it again is, Doctor?
Whole Immune, which is a beta-glucan, and there's many types of beta-glucans, but this is one that has hundreds of research
Whole
articles
immune.
On it. Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Derek. Let's catch Ingrid. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Ingrid.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello.
Hi. I've always been such a believer in vaccines because I had two family members in Norway who were hit by polio as children, and they survived, but they my aunt had lost the use of the muscles in both her legs, and my cousin lost the use of muscles in one arm. And by the time I came along, there was the polio vaccines. Mm-hmm. My son died of the Hib meningitis because he missed taking it because when he was at the right age, they were still using the partially live vaccine, and he had a cold, so they wouldn't give it to him, and he died before he...
Ingrid?
Did we lose you?
Oh, dear. Ingrid,
well,
I'm so sorry.
So let's try to answer in those areas. There's, again, currently all vaccinations, like all drugs, people, because people want to separate drugs and vaccinations, and that's actually their first error. It's an injectable drug, which makes it even more dangerous than most oral drugs, okay? And so when any injectable drug will have a risk-to-benefit ratio. So in certain areas, certain countries where there's different endemic natures of things, so I can't tell anybody in terms of what the rates of things were in Norway at certain times as far as things go, it would make a difference in terms of what vaccine I would give my child. The runaway rates of illnesses for allergic disease, autoimmune disease, asthma disease in our country is being caused by unnecessary vaccination, and that's what nobody wants to look at. So you might be getting a short-term benefit from most vaccines causing wide and untold illnesses on top of it. That's why, like, I have a 16-month-old. I'm not saying he will never get a vaccine. I'm just saying he hasn't gotten a vaccine yet. Since he is half African-American, I am actually probably not going to at least get any vaccines until 2.5 because of that's what the research would indicate. And so there is a risk-to-benefit ratio with all vaccines. I want it to be a free world out there. I am not trying to get them eliminated. I'm trying to get them better studied, folks.
All right. Eric, I got about a minute.
All right. Real quick, when I was a kid, if you didn't have your shots, they pulled you into the office, gave you your shots. They didn't call your parents. In eighth grade, they did that to me.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, I was in the hospital, and it affected me for about 6 months of my life with Guillain-Barre disease.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will say now is I have all these doctors tell me to get the flu shot unless they're my doctors, and none of them, you know, I've had a couple different doctors, and they refuse to give it to me, and just through diet and working with my doctor, I've never been healthier. I hardly ever get sick.
I got to jump in. That's great news. Yes. I'm sure that Dr. Forsman appreciates that. Thank you, Eric. We'll come back and wrap things up with a good doctor. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Always online at spencersfreshmarkets.com. Here are some reasons to check out Spencer's this weekend. Fresh, boneless, skinless chicken breasts on sale all weekend long, $1.59 a pound. Baja fillets, $5.99 a pound. Spencer's own cheddar jalapeno sausage, $4.99 a pound. You can go to Spencer's and get swordfish steaks for $8.99 a pound, plus jumbo easy peel shrimp for only $8.99 a pound. How about locally grown avocados? How about two for $3? That's the price. The asparagus is tender for $1.99 a pound. And organic, locally grown pumpkins, $2.99. They're organic. All this and more, so much more, only at Spencer's in Morro Bay and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Markets, always worth the drive. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor, the Dave Congleton Show. Wow. Okay. I guess that's what we do. Dr. Forsman, one last time, please. What's happening on Monday?
This Monday in the Avila Room on Trilogy Parkway from 4 to 6 p.m., the future of cancer therapies, myself and from Dr. Julie Taguchi, should be a rambling good discussion. We'll try not to bring up vaccines too much during that, I don't think. And so it's a good to have people, everybody out there, question things, question authority, question what's going on out there. Question the vaccine schedule. Please question your doctors nicely. So if they're trying to get you to vaccines, and they're not wrong, they've been taught to do this, okay? They probably haven't questioned it like I didn't even 5 or 10 years ago. So it's time for you to question it, though, because the data doesn't support the use of the majority of them.
And the last call, Eric, underscore what you were saying. Instead of taking shots, he just does these six things.
Right.
And he's fine.
Absolutely.
Hi, doctor. Thank you.
You're
off
welcome.
We go. We've got news, traffic, weather. What's on your mind? We'll find out. Last call is next.
This is 920 AM.